Amazing Grace. John Newton, who wrote that song, was a slave trader. He lived a very vile life. And when he talks about amazing grace in that song, he believed that he experienced amazing grace. God had forgiven him not just part of his sin, but had forgiven him all of his sin. He realized in God's sight, he was an awful, wretched person. And that God would save him in his mind was amazing grace. And he never got over it. It's a great song. We're going to look in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, getting back to the basics, being thankful. I trust that it can be a great encouragement to you. I'm in a little mini series, which I'm thankful for the opportunity from Pastor Matt to be able to have some of these opportunities to share with you and to finish up in 1 Thessalonians. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and this series starting in verse 16 through 22. And last Sunday, I began the first two of six messages on getting back to the basics. Real important for us as believers that we get back to what is truly the basic truths of the Scripture and basic Christian living. Paul has been in this section, this practical section, starting in chapter 4, and just some practical things to help this church in Thessalonica to live the way that God intended for them to live. And there's lots of application for us as well. And I think lots of room for us to grow as well as believers. But this evening, focusing on that title, Be Thankful. And I was reading about Charles Dickens. Charles Dickens visited America and he gave lectures across the country. And he said Americans had things all mixed up. He suggested that we should not have one day of Thanksgiving, but 364. And that the other day could be for complaining. He noticed that we tend to complain 364 days and express thanks on one. It may be very true. Where many of us, easy for us to complain and to grumble. And Thanksgiving, almost kind of Thanksgiving Day, as I think about it at our house and around the table, and we all try to thank God for something. And maybe reminds us, you know, yeah, I need to be a lot more thankful. But Thanksgiving is more than just a traditional holiday Americans celebrate in November. It's an attitude, an action that God wants in all believers at all times. Not just that fourth Thursday when we get turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and gravy. And OK, you know, probably don't need to go any further, make everybody hungry. But it's something in which God wants to develop and see developed in his people all the time. In the Old Testament, God had his people celebrate a 7-day period of Thanksgiving every year at the end of the harvest. It was called the Feast of Tabernacles or of Booths. I remember growing up as a Jewish boy, and we used to have that Feast of Tabernacles, and we would have the sukkah, and it was like a little shelter type of thing that you would walk underneath, and there was all kinds of fruits and vegetables that were underneath there, and it was a neat time. Obviously, as a child, always loved going to synagogue because there was always usually food that was associated with that. But that time especially was a time where there was food, and it was a time of celebrating, of thanksgiving. Now, the New Testament doesn't set aside any specific day or a week when it comes to the area of thanksgiving, but instead it encourages us to practice thanksgiving or thanks living. Really, our lives ought to be a thanksgiving to God for all that he has done for us. Our lives ought to be a response to that. And this is the way that Christians ought to live. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, if you have your Bibles there, I'm just going to read again that portion of Scripture that I think, you know, very short little commands, but I think very helpful for us in just understanding the basics of the Christian life. Starting in verse 16, Paul says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." As I mentioned there, a little outline in the back of the bulletin, that Paul presents these six basic principles of Christian living. These are not unique with me or original with me. Actually, these are from Pastor McLaughlin from a little article that he wrote in Christian Pastor, where he mentioned, be joyful, be prayerful, be thankful, be spiritual, be biblical, and be careful. I did mention that to him, and he said that was okay because all of my material underneath is completely different than his. So he said that was okay that I could borrow those things. So I have these by permission from him. But this evening we want to look at that third principle where Christians are commanded to be thankful. And I'm going to seek to answer three basic questions. Again, what is thankfulness? Why are Christians to be thankful? And then when are Christians to be thankful? Thankfulness, this is not an original definition with me, but I think it's a good definition. Thankfulness is making mention to God and others in what ways they have benefited my life. Thankfulness is making mention, using our mouths, making mention to God and others in what ways they have benefited my life. Now, in this context and where we're looking at in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul does not define, and when he says give thanks, he doesn't define, is it thanks to God? Is it thanks to other people? Thanks to your parents? It doesn't say who the thanks is to be given to. But I think the context in the whole book of 1 Thessalonians, the focus is on God. And he uses the same exact word in chapter 1 and verse 2 and chapter 2 and verse 13, where in those instances, he specifically thanks God for the Thessalonians and for their faith. You know, Paul regularly thanks God. If you looked in the different letters in which Paul writes to the different churches, he expresses thanks to God for individuals. I'm just going to read some of those for you and see if you can kind of get this theme from Paul. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which is given to you by Christ Jesus. Philippians 1, 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Colossians 1, 3, we, when Paul's speaking of we, speaking of Paul and Timothy, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is the word of God. And 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. I say, why'd you read all of those? Well, you know, I think it's easy for us to look at this where Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's almost as if Paul is giving this command by the Lord, but he doesn't do it himself. Paul is modeling for us what he is actually telling. He's not only commanding other believers that they need to be thankful, he is practicing it as well. And I think it's important for us to, as we think about that, that we model for others what we ask them to do. You know, if I'm going to stand up here in front of you and say, you need to be thankful, you need to spend time thanking God for what he has done in your life, I need to make sure that I'm doing that. I think it's important that we do that as husband and wife, as you pray together, that you spend time thanking God together for what God has done in your life. I think it's important for you to model that for your children at night when you pray with them, that you thank God for the ways in which he has benefited your life. I think it's good for us to model these things, and the Apostle Paul models for us that. So what is thankfulness? It is making mention to God and others in what ways they have benefited our lives. And specifically in this context, Paul is talking about thanking God. Now, why are Christians to be thankful? As we look at that verse 18, I think we get those answers for us. I think there are three reasons. First off, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will. I've mentioned this the last couple of messages about God's will. It is the will of God. That phrase, this is the will of God, is not only in connection, is connection with verse 18, but it goes with verse 16 and 17. That it was God's will for the people in Thessalonica, the believers in Thessalonica, to rejoice and to pray. But they are also to give thanks. This wasn't just Paul's idea, say, you know, this is the model, this is what you ought to do, kind of pulling it out of his back pocket of an idea. But this was specifically God's will. This is God's design for them. This is God's design for you, to be thankful to God. That was God's plan. You know that phrase there? It says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." You know, as I was reading about that, some of the commentators are really struggling. What does that mean? Why does he even throw that little phrase there, in Christ Jesus? And this is kind of maybe what I think is going on there. Christ is the ultimate model of thankfulness to God and the source for what a life like that can be like. I mean, Christ lived out thankfulness. We're going to look, we'll refer to the passage there in the end of Matthew's account where Jesus is at the Last Supper, if you remember that account, where Jesus is just about, it's the Last Supper before he is turned over to the Sanhedrin, and then his life is going to be given up. And he talks about the cup, which represents his blood. And it says after he took before he took the cup, he gave thanks. The very same word that is used here, and the same word also that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 11. Christ modeled for us. Christ, who knew everything that was going to take place, knew what is going to take place in his own life, that he was going to suffer. He was wounded for our transgressions. Christ knew all of that was going to take place. And he thanks God of what was going to take place with that blood. So Christ models for us thankfulness. And Christ also is the source for which that life of thankfulness can be. It's only possible for us to be thankful to God when we have been united with Christ. See, when a person puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they then have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And with the Holy Spirit inside of them, they can then live a life thankful to God. What God asks us to do, He will enable us to do. God will never ask us to do something that is beyond our ability. Now, there's times probably we feel stretched. We think, thanking God for this. And we'll talk about some of those specific situations where the Apostle Paul thought he was stretched beyond his own ability. But sometimes God stretches us beyond our own ability in order that we may depend on God and not depend on ourselves. So it's God's will that we be thankful. It's also commanded that the verse here where it says, in everything, give thanks in the original language is just one word. And it's a present command. Something that is continuously to be practiced. It's not an option for the believer. It's not like, well, if I feel like it, I'll do that. Or if my circumstances are very positive and give me happy feelings, then I'll be thankful to God. It's not that way. It's a command in which we all must obey. It's a duty that we have to live on and we have to fulfill. And a lack of thankfulness, this would be a third reason why we need to be thankful. A lack of thankfulness is sin. In essence, if we're grumbling and complaining, didn't want to hear that. Philippians 2:14, short verse, Paul says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. All things without murmuring and disputing. We cannot do that as believers without the work of God in us. Children of Israel are probably a great example. We probably connect with them because many times we act like them so often. But in Numbers chapter 11, as the account there of the children of Israel, the people, they had everything that they have to be thankful. God had miraculously freed them from Egypt, the slavery in which they were going through. And they were moving toward the land that God had promised to them. God was supplying their needs each and every day. They had the manna coming from heaven, which they pick up each day. I think manna means, what is it? Some kind of like a bread of some kind. And they would pick that up each day. They had the water that they needed. And the millions of people that were there in that camp had everything they needed. But then there were a few people that began to complain about the menu. They started thinking about, back in Egypt, you know, we had these garlics, onions, and I bet you that would taste really good on these little flat cakes here. Kind of a Old Testament pizza, maybe. Well, their complaints became contagious. And a bunch of people started to complain. And in verse 10 of Numbers 11, it says that the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Now, we think God would get angry about big sins. You know, immorality, idolatry. God is getting angry at complaining. And so what did God do? If you remember the account there, God sends them quail. And a lot of the people are excited. Quail. This is better than this bread stuff that doesn't have any taste to it. And it says as they gathered that quail and they'd cooked it, and it was in their teeth, that God again was greatly displeased with them, and he sent a great plague, and many of them were struck dead, and they were buried. You can read that in Numbers 11 and verse 34. What does that tell us? God hates complaining and grumbling. You know, it's not just like, okay, that's, you know, I could avoid a whole bunch of other sins, but that one's not really that bad. I think it gives us maybe a different perspective. God hates complaining, and we ought to avoid that as well. So maybe when you get home tonight and you have that snack or whatever that you have, and it's not exactly what you wanted, maybe we need to be challenged to think about that again. So whether it be our food, whether it be our job, our home, our spouse, our children, our church, we ought not to be grumbling and complaining about any one of those things. If God has pointed his finger at any one of those things, we need to confess it as sin. That's what it is. Grumbling is sin. And we need to ask God for his grace to forgive us and help us to be grateful for what he's given to us. So why are Christians to be thankful? It's God's will. It's commanded. And grumbling is sin. All right, here's some practical things. I mean, this message and these messages that I'm kind of going through are a little more topical in nature, but I think maybe can be helpful to us. When are Christians to be thankful? Paul says, in everything, give thanks. In everything could be translated in every situation, in the sphere, if we think about it, in the sphere of life, in all of what we go through in life, we ought to be thankful. And why ought we to be thankful? Because God is working in every situation to bring about his good. Verses that we know may be very familiar, but it's good for us to be reminded of them in Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I don't know if you ever thought about what the good is. Verse 29 answers for us what the good is. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. The good is that you would become more and more like God's Son, Jesus Christ. God would use all of the circumstances of life at many times to conform us to the image of Christ. But what are some specific opportunities for us to give thanks? These are places in Scripture where this exact word that is used here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Where it is used, and I think can give us maybe some insights of some opportunities that we can give thanks to God. First opportunity is for meals. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a model for us. If you remember the accounts of the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus starts out with a few loaves and a few fish, and he's supposed to feed thousands. Some think that maybe at one point there's maybe 20,000 people that are there, and he has just a handful of fish and bread to feed all of them. What does Jesus do before he passes all that out? Maybe it's easy for us to skip over that. He thanks God for the little bit that he has, and he miraculously feeds everyone with plenty left over. I don't think the point is that we pray when we have little and that God will somehow make more out of it. I think the point is, no matter what we have, we ought to give thanks for it. I want to encourage you to spend time when you're around your table to thank God for the meal. Now, if you're at our house, we kind of rotate. So we have four children, so we rotate and who gets to pray at each meal. And usually the Gloria and I say, OK, whose meal is this? Which means, whose turn is it to pray? But we really try to encourage them, because at times, and maybe you've caught yourself in this, when you're praying at meal times, to almost say the same kind of thing. And we almost at times try to catch them, and maybe as we try to catch ourselves, that we don't just say the same thing. Okay, that was number you know, 24, prayer number 24. But to try to give some variety to what you're trying to say. But we want to make sure that we're giving thanks to God. And I would encourage you to eat meals together. At least one meal together as a family. I know we live in a busy society and a lot of running around. Try to discipline yourself as a family to gather together, praying together, thanking God together for the meal. And maybe taking turns. That would be an interesting thing. And it's interesting when children pray. And I remember when our children are younger and sometimes praying about lots of other things than the food. And I would encourage you when you go out in public to take time and thank God for the meal. You know, not one of those things where you have the napkin and drops on the ground. Thank you for the food. All right. But actually taking time to thank God for the food. That doesn't mean you need to stand up and, you know, raise your hands and all that. But thanking God for the food that He has provided and allowing you to have that. I think that that is a good thing for us to do. It's a biblical thing. Jesus did that. Paul does that in Acts 27, verse 35. So that's one opportunity to thank God, give thanks to God. The second is for physical healing. For physical healing, a second opportunity to give thanks to God. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He travels along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As Jesus is going into a village, 10 men with leprosy. Leprosy was a deadly disease. When people found to have leprosy, they moved them out of the community so they would not infect other people. And so there were 10 of these men that were living outside of the community. And they called out to Jesus from a distance and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have pity on us." In other words, heal us of our leprosy. And when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." As they went, they were cleansed. And if you remember that account, there was 10 of them that were healed. One of them, when he noticed that he was healed, praised God with a loud voice, and he came back to Jesus and he fell at his feet and he thanked him. The same word that is used here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And interesting that the writer there, Luke, mentions that it was a Samaritan that came back and thanked Jesus for his healing. There's many times when I visit with people in the hospital that are getting ready to have surgery or after surgery. And as I pray with them, I acknowledge that God is the great physician. He is the one that does the ultimate healing. Doctors can only do so many things. They put the body in the positions that it can do in order to provide that in a position in which it can be healed. But God is the ultimate healer. And I think we ought to thank Him when He grants that in our lives. Many times when somebody is going through a difficulty, whether it be cancer or any other kind of thing, will you pray for so-and-so? Will you pray for me? And then we get the healing and it's easy for us to go on with life and forget about that. I think it's important that we thank God, and maybe we need to keep it down. As even as Pastor Matt, I remember him talking about that little journal of the works of God. And maybe we need to keep something like that to remind us of the things that God has done and to spend time just thanking Him over and over and over again for what He has done. So that's a second opportunity for physical healing. A third opportunity for us to thank God is for the work of Christ. As I mentioned about Christ at the Passover, it was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread or Passover. Jesus was there instituting the Lord's Supper. The early church followed that practice in 1 Corinthians 11. But again, when Jesus took that cup of juice, which represented His blood, which He knew was going to be poured out, which meant He was going to die for the sake of others so that others could be forgiven of their sin, Jesus gave thanks. Next Sunday morning, we will gather together as a people of God to celebrate the work of Jesus Christ in our behalf. That Jesus Christ died in our place. He took our punishment. As the reminder to us, He was wounded for our transgressions. The fact that our sins have been forgiven, that we have been given a new nature in Jesus Christ, that the righteousness of Christ was applied to us, that the wrath of God was satisfied with Christ's work. We ought to celebrate that. We ought to thank God for that. And not just once a month when we have the Lord's table, probably ought to thank God for that every single day, that we ought not forget the fact of what we have in Christ. A fourth opportunity in which we can give thanks to God is for God's working in people. Many of those verses in which I read earlier, how that Paul was thanking God, he was thankful for how that God had worked in people. He was thankful for the way that which people had responded to the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he was thankful for their receiving of the gospel when Paul preached the gospel to them, that Christ died for their sins and that he rose again from the dead, that they received that message for themselves and they believed and put their trust in Christ. Paul was thankful for that. He was thankful that God chose him from the beginning of time for salvation. And as Paul communicated to various churches, as those verses that I read, he expressed specific thankfulness how God had worked in them. When the Romans, when he talked to that church in Rome, he thanked God for the believers, for their spreading of the gospel, that it was going everywhere. The gospel was being spread. Not only was in Rome, but all over or in the Roman world. In Ephesus, when he thanked God for them, he thanked God for their faith in Christ and for their love for all the saints. The church in Colossae, he thanked God for their faith, their love, and their hope that they have in heaven, that they were bearing fruit. Little letter to Philemon is an interesting little letter. Philemon is would be a slave owner. Onesimus was one of his slaves and had ran away. And Paul met him and led him in faith in Christ. And Paul writes this letter back to him to receive Onesimus, his slave. And Paul writes to him, he says, he thanked God for Philemon's faith in Christ and for his love for saints and for his encouragement to saints. We ought to thank God for what he is doing in people's lives. Maybe even as we look at our own auditorium, look at those within the body, a fourth, thanking God for those that God has brought to us, those that have come to faith in Jesus Christ, those who are following the Lord. We had three children this morning that indicated that they want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. We ought to thank God for that. And thank God for parents that are following up with their children and wanting their children to continue to follow the Lord. And for many people, I think we have over 20 people now that are interested in joining with us as a church and to be a part of Fourth Baptist Church. We ought to thank God for that and how God is working in people. So that is a fourth opportunity for us to give thanks for God's working in people. And then a fifth opportunity to give thanks is for Christian fellowship. Acts 27 is the account where Paul and some other prisoners set sail from Jerusalem to go to Rome. Paul longed to go to Rome. There were some believers that he had never met before, but who had prayed for him. And Paul was going to Rome to stand before Caesar for the charges that were against him. And if you remember that account in Acts 27, that the trip was very dangerous. There were some rough seas. Paul had warned them that they shouldn't travel at a certain time. Ended up throwing a lot of things overboard. They landed on an island called Malta. Paul was bit by a snake. They thought he was going to die, but he did not. He finally arrives in Rome many days and many miles later. And that there were believers that are around in that area, around Rome, that had heard that Paul was coming. And they made the trip. Forum of Appius, I don't know if I'm saying that right, or Appius, 43 miles. Now, for us, 43 miles would be 45 minutes in the car at 60 miles an hour. These believers, how they came, whether walking or by animal, 43 miles was some distance that they were coming to see a man of God. Some other people from three taverns. They came 33 miles. So here's some believers coming 43 miles away, 33 miles to gather together to see the Apostle Paul. And it says when Paul saw these believers, he thanked God for them and he took courage. Fellowship with other believers is an occasion to thank God. Gathering together as the people of God tonight. And as many of you will do afterwards, you'll stay around for a while and talk about the things of the Lord. Talk about what God is doing in your life. Maybe sharing prayer requests with other people. I think we need to thank God for that and make sure that we don't take it for granted. My good friend Roberto Coelho, he said when he comes here, it is so refreshing. There, you know, for many missionaries, it can be very lonely because they're reaching out, trying to reach new people with the gospel. The people that they reach then need to be discipled. So it's really a mentor relationship. He comes here and it's like that peer relationship and be able to be mutually encouraged. It's very easy for us to take for granted this Christian fellowship and everything that we have that's involved with that. I think it's important. We probably need to remember to pray for our missionaries, the loneliness that can be there on the field. But fellowship is very sweet. And maybe for some in this auditorium, fellowship time is very sweet. Maybe because of your marital situation, married to an unbeliever, and you don't have that common fellowship with a spouse. Maybe you work in an unbelieving environment and it is very difficult and you long for the times to gather together with the people of God to be encouraged. Maybe you live alone and it's very lonely at home and you long for those times to gather together as the people of God. We need time with other Christians to challenge each other, to encourage each other and to build each other up. And that is an opportunity for us to give thanks. And then the sixth and final opportunity that I will share tonight for us to give thanks to God is for prayers of God's people. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 11, the account there, Paul had gone through some very extreme hardships in ministry in the province of Asia, which is now modern day Turkey. Paul said it was so severe that Paul thought it was beyond his ability to endure. It was beyond his ability to endure. Have you ever been to that point? I just don't think I can go on anymore. That's how Paul felt. And then Paul makes this little editorial comment. He said, "This happened so then we would not rely on ourselves, but on God." Sometimes God pushes us beyond what we think we can handle in order that we may see and put our trust and reliance on God and not upon ourselves. Paul says he set his hope on God to continue to deliver them. And then Paul thanked God for the prayers of many on his behalf. Prayer is kind of an interesting and mysterious thing. When we think about the working of God, we acknowledge that God is sovereign and God works all things together for his good. But at the same time, he asks his people to pray. And God somehow mysteriously responds to the prayers of his people and also sovereignly works at the same time. It's kind of a strange thing as we think about that. I think it's also a great reminder to us to remember to pray for our missionaries. You know, many of us and what we go through, there's lots of different challenges that we go through from time to time. But I think we need to remember to pray for our missionaries. I got a chance to talk to Peter and Sandy Silseth the other day. They were here at one of our services. They were relaying to me some difficulties that they were going through in ministry and that it was just good for them to just be away from that. Many times we don't even know what a missionary may be going through, the difficult times. And I trust that you'll take those prayer bulletins that our missions committee puts together and to take time to pray for our missionaries, pray for those specific needs that are mentioned there and continually bring before the throne of God those needs. I think it's good for us to thank God for those who pray for us. You know, if you had some health concerns and God brought you through those, thank God for those. Even part of probably Wednesday night ought to be some of that time. And there ought to be periodic times where we are thanking God and thanking people for how they spent time praying for us. So whether it be the special challenges at work, whether it be health issues, provision of a job, the selling of a home, we ought to thank God for the prayers of others. Christians are to be thankful. Thankfulness ought to characterize the believer's life. Thankfulness is making mention to God and others in what ways they have benefited our lives. Christians are to be thankful because it's God's will, it's commanded, and because grumbling is sin. Christians are to be thankful for such things as meals, physical healing, the work of Christ, for God's work in people, for Christian fellowship, and for the prayer prayers of God's people. I trust that maybe through this message and through God's word that you might be challenged to be thankful even more than what you've been before. Father, thank you for the privilege and opportunity of gathering together as the people of God and to learn from your word and to sing songs. Father, we thank you for the amazing grace that was extended to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that the same can be true of us when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, that we can be forgiven of all of our sin. And Father, we thank you that we can rejoice in you no matter what may come about in our lives, that we can rejoice in what you are doing and what you have done and what Christ has done on the cross for us, and what the Holy Spirit is doing within us as believers, and what, Father, you did in the beginning of time in choosing us. And Father, we can rejoice and be glad in that. We thank you for each one that is here tonight. And we ask, Father, that you would do a special work in all of us and that we would be thankful people, that it would characterize our everyday life, and that you would help husbands and wives and children as they walk with you to be thankful. And so we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen.